You're listening to the Christy G Podcast with me, your host, Christy G. Here I sit and talk with some of the most funny, talented, and inspiring people on the planet. So sit back and enjoy this newest episode. Hey guys, what's up? It's Christy. Hello, hello. For the love of all that is holy, it is so noisy outside right now. Lots of city noises going on. I always think of Ben Gibbard and that Death Cab song. The city is my home. Construction noises all day long. My brain is scattered right now. But anyhow, moving on. I am really excited to share this episode with you guys today. I am chatting with a super talented and really funny, awesome dude, Matt Pryor of the Get Up Kids. I had such a fun time talking with Matt. I have loved the Get Up Kids and the New Amsterdams for such a long time. And that, of course, snowballed into loving all his other projects, like his solo record, Radar State, Terrible Twos, all such good stuff. Once I get past my fangirl moment, we totally had a fun conversation and we got into some really cool topics. Some of the things we discuss are how I found the Get Up Kids, and I even teach him like this kind of redneck slang word, apparently, that was passed down to me from my family, and he'd never heard it before, and that was pretty funny. We talk about the nostalgic emos in Austin, Texas, his thoughts on hanging out with fans before or after one of their shows. Some of you guys had started up some conversation on Facebook about it, and we dive totally into that. We talk about the term emo and his thoughts on that and the evolution of the emo scene. We talk about how his talents in songwriting and playing guitar and all that stuff, is it more natural talent or is it something you have to work really, really hard at? And that was really fun to learn about him. So we'll get into that. We talk about the difference between the Get Up Kids, the New Amsterdams, Radar State, and the Terrible Twos, and how when he writes songs, how they end up in certain bands and how the bands collaborate when they write songs for the Get Up Kids. And we talk about if there is any Terrible Twos records coming out again and what it was like to have someone on the keys other than James. We also kind of branch off of music. We talk about our love of John Mulaney, Pete Holmes, Schitt's Creek, and the amazing Letterkenny. We talk about Pete Holmes' book, Comedy Sex God, and how we both found a little bit of our own personal story and Pete's story. And he talks a lot about podcasts that he likes to listen to. A lot of them are comedy podcasts and how they're very therapeutic for him. And we discuss the anxiety and the heaviness that we're both feeling right now with what's going on in the world and our place within it. And man, we talk about a lot of good stuff. We talk about the kindness of one of our mutual friends, Chris Conley, who is so freaking awesome. If you haven't listened to my last podcast, I talked to Chris from Saves the Day, by far one of the best people that I've got to know in a very, very long time. And we also talk about what's next for Matt's podcast, Nothing to Write Home About, that he's trying to start back up. It's a really, really fun conversation. I think you're really going to enjoy it. Before we get started, I want to thank the few of you guys that left me some really cute comments. I'm going to read them because they're adorable. From the Cocoon, they say, loving the energy and enthusiasm that Christy puts out. It's pure love. Aww. She has some pretty unique guests so far, and I'm looking forward to what's to come. Thank you. DD Blah Blah says, I just recently came across this podcast, and I'm loving it so far. Great interviews. Yes. Sadira says, love this girl. So fun to listen to. Oh, thanks, Sadira. And, ooh, this one, UHCoog27 says, I came just for the Chris Conley interview, and I really enjoyed the talk. Thank you. That was such a fun, fun conversation. So, thanks, Chris, for being on it. So thank you guys all so much for leaving the comments and showing me love. It means a lot to me, and it just makes my heart all warm and fuzzy. So, without further ado, can we please just get to the episode already? This is my conversation with Matt Prior. Hi, Matt.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much again. This is so fun. I have been a huge fan of you in general for years and years and years. And got a fangirl out a bit for a little bit there. I know, it's you're like, thanks. I wish I had like a really cool story about how I found the Get Up Kids in some like real cool way, but basically, I grew up in a really tiny bohunky town in Texas, and every Tuesday, I would take my money from my little paycheck. I would go to the skate shop in San Antonio because there was this boy there I thought was cute. And one day, he's like, you should check out the Get Up Kids. And I was like, okay. So I went and bought your record that day, and it became my favorite thing. And I don't even remember what that guy looks like anymore, but I still love you guys.
I have to say, well, thank you, and thank you to that guy for showing us to you, but can I just, did you call the town you lived in Bohunky?
Bohunky, yeah.
What the hell does that mean?
I would say, how do I describe Bohunky? I don't know, that's a Bandera, Texas kind of word. It's very small, 3 stoplights, less than 1,000 people, rodeos. It's considered the cowboy capital of the world.
I mean, I can picture the kind of town you're talking about. I've just never heard that phrase before.
Yeah, I think I may have gotten that from my mom. She creates a lot of words.
But, we would say podunk.
Podunk, yeah, that makes sense too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's probably, or I don't know.
Bohunky. You learned a new word today.
There you go. New terminology.
That's so fun. But yeah, so I found that record and then, you know, forgot that guy existed and just kept loving the Get Up Kids. And, of course, that led to loving New Amsterdams. And it snowballed from there. And just such goodness, you know?
Thanks.
You're welcome. I used to go. So my town was like 40 miles from like the White Rabbit and like 80 miles to Emo's. And I would always go to Emo's usually. But
do you remember? So are you like in between Austin and San Antonio then? Or is it?
Yeah, like if I was like west of both of them, but like in the middle.
Oh, okay.
So I could go. But Emo's was like my jam, and I saw you guys play there so many times. I think I saw New Amsterdam at Stubbs.
Yep.
Right?
Oh, yep.
Such good
We
memories.
Played a couple times inside at Stubbs.
Yeah.
Stubbs is cool. Yeah. I mean, Emo's was a really great dump.
It was.
You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
It was a really fantastic just dive bar.
Totally.
I will say, though, I don't like a trough in a bathroom. I know they don't do those in women's rooms, but I really don't like a like I'm a horse. You know, like.
Yeah. It's funny. I hear guys say that all the time, and I'm just like, I can't even imagine, like, what that's like.
No one would do that to a woman.
Yeah.
That would be it.
I'm okay with that. Yeah. But, yeah, I live out in L.A. now, so I went and saw you guys recently at the Echo or the Echoplex, right? And then usually Troubadour and all those goodies. And you were just here with Dashboard at the Wiltern, right?
No, we didn't play that show.
Oh.
Piebald was on the West Coast, and we were on the Midwest and East Coast.
My brain. I obviously didn't go to that show, so that's why I did not know.
No, we were on tour. We were actually in New York City when the tour got canceled.
Okay. Wow. How long ago was that for the tour to officially be canceled?
March 13th or something like that.
Okay.
It was a couple of days before my birthday's the 16th.
Aww.
It was a couple of days before my birthday, so it was either the 12th or the 13th.
Well, happy belated birthday.
Thank you.
So since then, though, you've been doing these live streams, which is really fun, and like with your, like, streaming by yourself, and then with Chris Conley the other day. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And are you just going to continue doing that? Like, randomly, you're going to set a schedule?
I'm trying to figure that out. I think, yes, I want to, I don't know that I really want to do them every single day, mm-hmm. like I have been, because it, I mean, to be completely honest, some days I wake up and I just, like, I don't feel like performing.
Of course.
Like, because the world feels like it's ending. And,
yeah.
And honestly, if I was on tour, I wouldn't have the choice of not doing it. Mm-hmm. And I also, even if I didn't feel like performing, I would do it anyway and not tell anybody. You know, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe, I mean, I don't mean like not tell my coworkers, but you know, I don't want people to pay money to go to a concert and then have the lead singer be like, "I'm just kind of in a bad mood today. We're only gonna play, the slow songs."
Yeah, you're like, "I'm just not feeling it today."
Yeah, I would never do that. But I feel like with the live streams, it's kind of like I feel like I have that option of just being like, and honestly, to also to be able just to talk about it and be like, yeah, today's a hard one. Today's kind of hitting a wall. And so I don't really feel like smiling for people.
For sure.
You know, I'm just going to go for a walk and work in the garden and listen to stupid, silly podcasts.
I love that. Speaking of like just not feeling it, is that something that happens quite a bit on the road, that you feel like sometimes you're just like, huh, I don't want to do this today, and does that become any kind of struggle at all?
Yeah, I mean, it's more for me, well, it's kind of a twofold thing. Mm-hmm. One is that, like, for me, it's the struggle of just the part of the time of day that you're not performing, mm-hmm. which is like, you know, the other 22 and a half hours a day that you're away from home. I kind of struggle with. I really enjoy seeing people. I have friends in a lot of cities now and get to come hang out with them. And I enjoy performing in the sense of like when people are, it makes other people happy. It does get kind of monotonous playing like the same set every night or the same songs every night. And because we're, you know, a democracy in the band, it's not like it's hard to change things like on a dime. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, so like on this last tour where we were the opening band, it was like, all right, let's play a lot of new songs because we have a new record and those are the ones that we're like the most excited about, because you're always the most excited about the newest songs that you have. And so we were trying to kind of keep it fresh that way. But honestly, it's, you know, you have bad days. For me, it's more like anxiety than depression. So,
yeah.
But, you know, I can flip that switch when I walk on stage and just, you'd never know it. You know, like you'd never know that I was having a bad day.
Aww. Yeah, I totally deal with the anxiety thing too. And a lot of people are like, you're so bubbly and so blah, blah, blah. And, you know, and I'm like, yeah, but when I'm not, you know, doing this, or I'm just kind of like, ah, you know. So I totally get what you're saying with that.
Well, no one's ever accused me of being bubbly.
No?
So, no.
That's surprising.
No, it's not. curmudgeonly sometimes.
But. Oh, my gosh. So, one of the things I've noticed that a lot of people, when it comes to bands, they get really upset when people don't want to, like, say you go see a band and the band just kind of goes back into their own space and doesn't socialize with the crowd. People get really upset about that for some crazy reason. What are your thoughts on that? Like, if you don't go and, like, mingle with people right after you play, like, why would you not do that, or why would you do that? It's not, I'm sure it's not like a personal thing for people, but people seem to take it personally.
I mean, I guess I have a lot of thoughts on this. The first thing I thought of was like, right now it's like, I can't go shake anybody's hand.
Right.
I can't go take a selfie with anybody, you know?
Yeah.
I go wear a hazmat suit and like sign stuff for people. Like, it's
right. Of course.
but that, you know, hopefully that's not for forever. And for me, it's really more of a logistical thing. Mm-hmm. If I go and sing for an hour and a half a night, I can't go then talk to everybody at the club and shout over the house music. Mm-hmm. I can't go out to a loud bar after we play and compete with that volume. Otherwise, it's honestly, I end up just looking like a dick because I just can't talk.
Right.
Because I know I won't be able to sing the next day. Mm. When we're doing things like, you know, the support shows where we're playing less, or if I'm doing a solo show where I don't have to, you know, be as hard on my voice, then I do go out and I talk to people. But, you know, and I'm don't have a problem with doing that. I do get annoyed with kind of the indignance of it. Of mm-hmm. There's nothing on your ticket that says performance and meet and greet.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just sort of like, if I can do that and I don't feel sick, or I don't, like, you know, I can physically do it, like, if my voice can take it, then I would, of course, do that. But because I want to, not because anyone's demanding it.
Exactly. And, like, you, like, I know a lot of bands, and I think I've heard you say this, like, you're creating this music, but you're doing it for you. Also, you're not out there doing it to make other... I mean, it's a bonus that it makes other people happy, but that's not your...
Well, it's kind of a... It's funny. I was my daughter and I were talking about this yesterday, because it's like, I understand having a sense of ownership, because, you know, I've felt that way about bands my whole life too, but it's not real.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just because you feel a sense of ownership towards a band doesn't mean that band owes you anything. Mm-hmm. And so... I try to, like, straddle the line there of not being, like, a dick about it, but also kind of being like, well, I mean, you don't get to tell me what I'm going to do. I mean, that isn't the nature of the relationship we established in the beginning of this relationship. So why would it be any different now?
Yeah, totally. It's funny because when I do these, like, podcasts, and people are always like, ask them why they didn't hang out with us on this day or this. I'm like, why do everyone seems to be, like, bugged about this? I'm like, they're people, like, just like you. Like, they want to do, you know.
Well, it's also this kind of thing of, like, I can't. So every night of a concert that you go out to a concert, unless you're, like, got to go to work the next day or something, it's like a party, especially mm-hmm. when you're getting into something that's kind of, like, at least somewhat nostalgia based, and maybe you're getting together with your friends and going to sing songs you haven't sang in 10, 15 years, mm-hmm. the people get really, like, it becomes like a big event for them. But it's I'm at work.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it's, and I mean, it's a very laid back work environment for sure, but it's still like, if I go out and, like, people always want to buy me shots before the show.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I still have to play well,
right.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
you can be fall down drunk at the show, but I can't be and have people continue to come see us play.
Yeah,
you know?
That doesn't really work out too
that's,
well.
That's fun. That's funny. One. That's like funny one time.
Yeah,
but
totally. Yeah, it's. Yeah, I think about. I don't know. People ask that a lot, and I'm just like, why? So I was like, I'm gonna ask you because I figured you would have a good answer for that one.
Well, plus I've just been saying, like, someone's like, let me buy you a shot. And I'm like, how about you go buy a shirt? I get booze for free at this thing.
I love that. That should be a thing where you go to the bar, like, you're getting a shot for the band. No, he wants you to go over there. Just go buy a shirt instead.
That would be cool. I'm not trying to be a dick about it, but it's kind of an unrealistic expectation that I'm going to go and, like, get blasted with you and then still play well.
Totally. Oh, my gosh. I'm trying to, like, bring up things that you haven't talked about a million times, but sometimes I feel like I have to bring it up because sorry, I'm really bad at the words right now. Okay, I'm just going to go ahead and skip over that one. So, you guys are considered an emo band, technically. I know you get asked about that a lot and how that makes you feel about being considered emo. I'm curious because, like, the emo that I first found versus the emo 5 years ago is very, very different. It seems to be coming back around to more the earlier generation of emo. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Okay, cool. So what are your thoughts on being considered an emo band? Because it seems like emo bands, like, isn't that emotional? Isn't all music emo?
Well, it's a poor choice of words.
Yeah.
But you know, and let's see. Yes, all music should be emotional. That should be a given. And then ultimately, a lot of people forget that it was a derogatory term in the beginning. It was basically calling us pussies. You know what I mean? Like, it was just like punk rock bands and hardcore bands making fun of us.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of like initially you're just so like, well, why do I want to embrace this? Like, I, you know, but it got to a point where just like, well, there's no way to fight it. you know what I mean? Like, this, you're just going to sound like a bigger dick if you, you know, spend all your time talking about how you don't want to be called this because you don't have any control over that.
Right.
I will say it is interesting to see the evolution of it because it's sort of like the word punk or the word rock, where it's just like it means something. There's no like defined parameters of it. Like it means something different to it's like, is emo Sunny Day Real Estate or is emo Fall Out Boy? And the answer is yes. It's all of those things. It's whatever you whatever it means to you, you know what I mean? And as an individual, I will say that in the kind of era, what I guess they call third wave now, I didn't connect with a lot of those bands as much. And when this sort of like new wave, like bands like Modern Baseball and Into It Over It and Pup, I really felt more in line with them. But you know, it's also I think they're doing something more similar to what we were doing, just sort of not necessarily stylistically, like musically stylistically, but as far as like kind of just indie ethics and and working hard and putting on a good show and
not trying to become some famous.
Yeah, there was there was a contingent in like the kind of early 2000s, I feel like, where it became possible for people in our quote unquote scene to become like famous.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, I don't want to be famous. Famous, that that seems like it sucks. Like, I've been around famous people. It's like, you're like, it doesn't, I mean, it pays well, but it's not worth it, to, in my opinion.
Of course.
Granted, I have the luxury of not being famous, so I can say stuff like that. But yeah, I mean, and then lately I've been really getting into a lot of the bands that I've kind of discovered have been through my daughter and her friends who are in a punk band now. And so it's like, even like, I don't know, I feel really like excited about even some even younger bands. And we've tried to even like take some of them on tour with us too.
Aww. But that's cool. So your daughter, is this your oldest?
Yeah.
Okay. That's so fun. Is it something that you think she, I mean, I'm sure she was inspired by you, but did you play a big part in that, or is that kind of her own individual, like, love?
I think it's her thing. Like, we pushed, like, piano lessons when the kids were little.
Yeah.
And then, but it wasn't like, all right, you're going into the family business, you know, like.
Yeah. That's really cool. I love that. Aw. Something like I never had the guts to do as a kid, and I always wish I would have. I think that would have been really fun. I don't know who I would have found in my little town to do that with. I'd probably have to be in a Patsy Cline cover band or something, which wouldn't be.
There's worse things.
I know. I'm like, that wouldn't be so bad.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's cool. I was talking, I don't know if you heard my conversation with Chris Conley, but I was talking about how, as someone who I don't have that musical talent, the idea of writing music and putting them with words, like, it's like physics to me, and it blows my mind. And I'm kind of curious what your thoughts are. Like, what percentage is that, like, natural, like, ability versus hard work? You know, like, is it more than one? I'm sure it varies, but with you specifically.
I think it's more hard work.
Yeah.
Than, I mean, I can see my evolution as a writer and as a singer changing and evolving over the years.
Yeah.
And then hopefully, you know, the more you do it, the better you get at it.
Yeah.
Like, you don't get, hopefully you don't get worse at it.
You know, like, yeah, that would not be fun.
But, I mean, I think you, I don't know. I don't know how to define what natural talent is necessarily. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I can hear it with people who are like, have really unique voices, like singing voices, or people who are like really advanced musicians at a like a young age. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like I can see that. But even that, that's still, you know, you with your voice, you have to kind of hone it. And, you know, you don't get to be a guitar prodigy without spending hours and hours and hours and hours and hours like practicing, even if it does come easy to you. So
that's true.
I think it's got to be I think it's more hard work than it is like raw talent. Plus, there's a lot of people who aren't even that talented that work really, really hard and do well.
That's true. Yeah. No, I'm amazed by it. Like I can't wrap my head around it at all. And I want to so bad. And I'm just like, God, like it seriously is amazing to me the things that you can do. Because you have like all these different albums and all these different songs. And I'm curious, how do you choose what's Get Up Kids and what's New Amsterdam's and what's Radar State and vice versa? Like, it blows my mind. I don't understand how you could do so much writing. Well, I don't know.
It's different things for different times. Mm-hmm. You know, like okay. With the Radar State record, at least for me, I was treating it as like a songwriting exercise for the songs that I wrote, where it would be like, all right, we're going to practice on Monday night. Each one of us, you know, me, Josh, and Jim would all write a song. And I would basically like write it the hour before I was supposed to leave. And I would just be like, okay, first idea, best idea. It's punk rock. It doesn't have to be like super, you know, complicated necessarily. <Yeah. laughs> And I would just write these like really quick, kind of simple songs and take them to the guy. So that was kind of and then the last Get Up Kids record we wrote more collaboratively. Mm-hmm. There's a handful of songs that were initially either Jim or I had brought to the group, but those get put into this kind of the blender that is the kind of Get Up Kids songwriting machine and get kind of like rearranged. Like everybody's got to put their stink on it a little bit. And but then a lot of the songs on that record were written sort of really collaboratively of like someone's got a riff and then like I'll just sing gibberish. Like kind of like coming up with a melody, but singing like a word salad kind of thing. And sometimes you accidentally find a lyric when you do that.
Okay.
Like the song Satellite, the first song on the new record is like that, where I just said Satellite. And it's like, oh, okay, let's see, what can I do with that? And then like we would do like a iPhone demo of it. And then I would take it home and write lyrics to it and then record a demo of it.
That's awesome.
And then for like my stuff, I don't know. It's me writing for myself or New Amsterdam seems to have to be more intentional. Like I have to sit down and be like, okay, I'm going to write a song today.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like it there's no deadline to it. And if there's no deadline, then I'll find something else to do.
Okay.
You know, it's just like, oh, I need to weed this part of the garden. I don't have time to write a song today.
Yeah.
Or today under quarantine, we got groceries delivered.
Ooh.
And it was like $300 worth of groceries. And
yeah.
Just like, well, I guess I'm spending the rest of my day putting groceries away because I need to figure out how this is all going to fit in the fridge. But I mean, I'm not getting $300 worth of groceries every day. It's just, that's like the week.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. It's, I don't know. It just, the idea of writing songs. Even I didn't mention this earlier, but I took guitar lessons for a hot second trying to figure out if I had some kind of gift. And my guitar instructor, instead of just teaching basic chords, he was like, what song do you want to learn? And so the only song I ever learned was Campfire Kansas.
Yeah.
That's it. And it did not absorb in my brain. I don't remember it at all anymore. And it makes me nuts.
I took guitar lessons for 6 months and had when I was like 16 and had younger, like 14. I had the opposite experience where the guy was like, okay, we're going to learn Day Tripper by the Beatles. And I was like, no, I want to learn Jane's Addiction. And like, no. And so I quit and I just, you know, went home and I just, you know, noodled around on the guitar until I knew how to play it.
That's awesome. That's really cool. I'm just in awe of that.
It's never too late.
That's true.
You know, being self-quarantine is a good time to learn a new skill.
I've been thinking about that a lot lately. Everyone's been doing those like tutorials on all kinds of things. I'm like, huh, maybe I should try something. That'd be kind of cool. I wish I could go on forever just talking about how that blows my mind how you guys do that. But we will move on. People are curious. I've noticed a lot of people are wondering if you're going to make another Terrible Twos record.
Well, I hadn't considered it until recently when I was getting a lot of feedback about playing those songs in the live stream.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I'm not opposed to doing any new recordings of anything. Mm-hmm. I got to a point where, like, with the twos, it was like I did two records that I was really proud of. My kids were getting older, and it was sort of like, this isn't like, for the amount of time and effort I had to put into doing it, it wasn't really making any money. Right. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. And there were kind of like opportunities to maybe exploit that I didn't feel comfortable with as a parent myself, where, yeah. And it was just kind of like, I wrote a third Terrible Twos record. I even started recording it. But I just never finished it because I was just kind of like, I don't know if anybody gives a shit about this.
Aww.
And because it was at the time, it was kind of like, I don't know. I was putting out children's records on Vagrant and they didn't know what the hell to do with it.
Yeah.
And it's just like, you know, I needed to really reach that audience. I think maybe it's different now. This is, you know, over 10 years ago.
Right.
But like, felt like you needed to be on like Nickelodeon Records or something like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
Blue's Clues Records or something.
Yeah.
Aww.
I took a meeting with a showrunner at a show on Nickelodeon during that time, and he was like, all right, I like the records. You got any ideas for a show? And I was like, what? No. I was like, do you got any shows you need music for? That's what I do. Like,
that's hilarious. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, one of my goals, that's something I could work on now, I wanted to write a children's book. And I was talking to my friend Tom from MXPX, which I know you've toured with them before.
I know Tom, yeah.
Way back in the day. So I was like, we should collaborate and make a book about a guitar that's like on an adventure. Because he was talking about how he played some like 50s guitar. And I'm like, the stories that guitar could say or to tell. I was like, oh, we could talk about this guitar's adventures in like a children's book. And I said he can help me with the guitar lingo. But
you could. I just went to a weird place with that. Where it was just like sex, drugs,
yeah,
like murder, maybe,
yeah,
extortion, bad record deals.
Oh my gosh,
alcoholism.
That totally
money laundering.
Yeah. That, okay, so the listeners don't know this yet, but me and Matt talked about comedy right before we started, and that bit of conversation totally reminds me. Have you watched John Mulaney's Sack Lunch Bunch yet?
I did. I loved it.
Yeah, that absolutely totally reminds me. The dark kind of humor songs.
Yeah.
We were watching that yesterday, and I was laughing so hard. He's hilarious.
Oh, I've been a fan of his for a long time. And then, honestly, the Jake Gyllenhaal bit of that had me rolling on the floor.
Uh-huh. So
I'm not the biggest Jake Gyllenhaal or Gyllenhaal, however the hell you say his name. I've never like been huge into that dude, but I was just like, oh, you're funny. I get it.
Yeah, that I had no clue who like the special guest was. So when he popped up, I was like, holy moly! And then my friend was sitting on the couch with me, and I was like, this totally won me over with him. Like,
yeah,
it was really, really good. But another comedy subject I wanted to talk to you about was Pete Holmes, because I noticed that you read Comedy Sex God, which I'm obsessed with.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm curious because I read it because I feel like I grew up just like he did. And when I saw Crashing, I was like, this hit home for me. Like, totally had the same childhood, the same teen years, all that stuff. And I feel like I'm kind of going through that journey still, like, that he's on. And so I was curious, like, what drew you to that book?
I've been a fan of his podcast for a long time.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to think of how I got into his podcast. I don't know if he was interviewing someone I wanted to listen to or he was being interviewed by someone I wanted to listen to, but I got really into that, his podcast. So when I started watching Crashing, And I related to it a lot, honestly, more like the kind of professional side of it than mm-hmm. the religious side of it. Right. I mean, I grew up in a Catholic family and mm-hmm. going to Catholic school, but I kind of tapped out of it like really early, like fourth or fifth grade.
Okay.
And spent the rest of my life fighting it, which was, you know, so it's kind of like I never had that kind of crisis of faith that like later in life like that. So I understand having like a crisis of faith is the only thing I can think to say of it, but like not about religion, about right. other things.
Mm-hmm.
And so I understand that aspect of it. And I get a lot of the religious subject matter because I can hold my own in those conversations, just, you know, learning it through osmosis of being in a, you know, Catholic school for 12 years. But honestly, one of the things that I really like, the two things that I really like about Pete, I like that he's a seeker
mm-hmm.
in the true sense of the word. Like, he doesn't necessarily think that he's right. He kind of like, even things that he thinks works for him, mm-hmm. he still like takes in everybody else's, like he wants to learn why do you believe this? And,
right.
and, you know, and all this sort of stuff. And I feel like that's like, honestly, like a true, like, I don't like the kind of like the, what's the word I'm looking for? The, I don't like the way like organized religion is kind of like, no, I'm right.
Yes.
And you're like,
yes.
It's kind of like, I get like saying like, this is what I believe.
Like the absolute.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So absolute. That was actually the word I was looking for. But then I also love that he just will be like, bleh, you know, just like say something really stupid or talk about his dick. And like,
yeah.
And it's just like in the middle of like a religious conversation or something
right.
like that. And I think that that's really fantastic. And it's honestly a better way to like, if you really do believe in like the teachings of some hippie pacifist that lived in the desert thousands of years ago, then like, it's better to be like open-minded about stuff, you know?
Totally.
I don't know. He's just really funny too. His stand-up, that last stand-up special was really funny.
Yes,
too.
Yes. He, where I live in LA is like walking distance to the Largo. And so for a long time, he was constantly at the Largo. So I would like run. I'd run to the Largo, but I'd be on my little jogs. And I would, every time I'd run by the Largo, I'd stop. And I'm like, if he's standing out here, I'm totally going to be his friend. And yeah, that hasn't happened yet. It's my goal.
I've never been to Largo.
Oh,
I've always,
it's awesome.
I've actually never gotten to do any of the like fun, like I've never been to UCB in California. I'd never, because I'm always there just to work.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I work at night. So it's like, it's never like, oh yeah, you should come after your show. And it's like, oh, but I'm on stage the same time you are. So no.
Yeah, that doesn't work. Yeah. I really like him. I, long story short, like grew up like him. And then one day I was like kind of over the church thing. And then I found him and I was like, he kind of came my church. Like his comedy was like my mm-hmm. new church. And so I'm mesmerized by the way his brain works. And one time he said, he's like, I bring joy. I'm like Christmas. And I'm like, I want to be like that. I want to bring Christmas in a Pete Holmes way. So.
It's also the kind of thing of like sort of allowing yourself to acknowledge as a creative person.
Mm-hmm.
I was discussing with my wife earlier today that I hate it when people refer to themselves as a creative because it feels like it's not a complete thought. You know, like
yeah.
a creative what? that kind of allowing yourself to recognize that what you do has value
mm-hmm.
and that like right now it's like, no, I don't have the skills to be working in a hospital. I don't have, you know, but like I can play songs for people and help them forget about shit for half an hour, you know, like,
of course.
And there is value in that. And that's something I struggle with.
Hmm. What do you mean? What you struggle? Like, what do you mean by that?
Oh, just feeling like what, you know, just, self-doubt sort
oh,
of
see.
like
yeah
like what's the point?
you know what I mean? Which
is especially hard at days like this. Totally. Times like this.
Yeah.
Times like this thing that none of us have ever experienced before.
I know. It's weird because I'm kind of naturally an introvert. So nothing really... At first, I was like, nothing's really changed for me. I'm just staying inside like always. And now I'm like, there was nothing taken away, like work, like really wise. I'm like, God, like I wasn't doing anything. And now it's hit me more. Like, I didn't have a career before this. Like, there's no job that I lost. I'm like, and that's when I was like, oh God, what's happening? But you start really thinking, overthinking things when you have a lot of time on your hands.
Yeah. I mean, I've been kind of struggling with that in general. And like, a lot of my, I was wanting this year to start, it's like, okay, don't tour as much, stay home, start doing more stuff online, you know, with music. And it's like, you know, be home with the kids more. And it's just like, okay, so I got all that, but it's kind of like, well, be careful what you wish for, you know,
yeah,
like,
exactly.
It always comes with a twist.
Yeah. I want to ask you one more band-related question, and then I kind of want to go back to the comedy, if that's okay.
Okay.
This question, it's not really a question. It's more of an elephant in the room, and you don't need to explain this situation because I don't think you have yet. But people are really curious about James leaving the band. And my question is, what's it like having someone else play the keyboard now? Like, how is that?
Well, our friend Dustin... has played in Get Up Kids before.
Okay.
When James was unavailable. And he spent over 10 years in the New Amsterdams with me.
Nice.
He was the guitar player in the New Amsterdams, and he also did a band called White Whale that was on Merge Records with Rob, our bass player.
Okay.
So honestly, he's kind of part of our extended family anyway.
Awesome.
So it's not really that different.
Okay, good. Yeah, I was like, what is that like? You know, just like, was it different? I assumed like you probably, you know, he's an awesome person or you wouldn't, you know, bring him with you.
Yeah, he's not like, sometimes with people, if you're going to hire people to tour with you, them being a good hang is almost more important than them being good at their job.
Yeah.
It just so happens that Dustin's a fantastic hang, and he happens to be like a solid gold player. You know what I mean? Like he's a really creative person, both like with keys and guitar, and you know, he's got a really positive energy. So
that's great.
But it was kind of like, well, you know, I don't know that we would necessarily hire just a keyboard. You know what I mean? Like a rando.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Yeah, I was just curious how that came about, finding him. But it's basically just family. You just hired him in your family. That's cool. Okay, so back to the comedy. You mentioned before when we were talking that you listened to a lot of comedy podcasts. Which ones are your favorite?
Well, today I listened to Conan O'Brien Needs a... Monday's a good day for podcasts. Drops.
Yes.
So I listened to the new Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend, and then I listened to My Brother and Me that came out today. I'm really into this podcast, The Adventure Zone.
Oh.
That's actually a a comedic D&D podcast. That's really good. What else about Comedy Bang Bang? I love Pete Holmes. You Made It Weird. I love.
Oh yeah.
Well, here, let me just look at my phone real quick. Okay. What else do I have on here that's like super good? Because of course, it's like going to a record store. Like I just draw a blank. You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally.
Bim Bam. I got another bunch I don't even really listen to that much anymore. I also listen to a lot of cooking podcasts.
Oh, interesting.
Conan, Comedy Bang Bang. I've been listening to Dumb People Towns, the Sklar Brothers.
Okay.
And lately they've been doing a breakdown of the Tiger King.
Okay, I have not watched that. Have you?
Yeah, I have. It's bonkers.
Really? Okay.
There's a new Oh Hello podcast with John Mulaney and Nick Kroll.
Nice.
It's actually called The Podcast. let's see. How Did This Get Made? Super Ego. I spent a long time yesterday listening to Judge John Hodgman.
Oh, okay.
So,
I don't know that one. Okay. Fun. And then is this like, I'm sure you're just a fan of comedy in general, but is it also like a therapeutic thing for you to just kind of get away?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Cool. And even like on tour, whether it's driving or it's, you know, if you're just in a city and you don't have necessarily have anywhere to go,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean? It's just like, just walk around and, you know, listen to stuff.
That's awesome. Have you, it sounds so weird when I ask this question, but have you ever heard of the podcast, My Dad Wrote a Porno?
I've heard of it. I've never listened to it.
I have never laughed so hard in my life.
Like, really?
It's so funny where I'll be like walking down the sidewalk, just like crying, laughing. And that's not something I normally do like by myself. Yeah. If you're ever like really bored, you should check that out. Like the first like, 4 episodes. It's so bizarre. But yeah.
I was laughing out loud today to, I don't know if you've ever listened to my brother and me.
I haven't. Mm-mm.
It's these three brothers and they just talk about nothing, but it's just really funny.
That's awesome.
They had this whole riff today about they want to remake Titanic but mash it up with Transformers so that right when the boat is about to hit the iceberg, it just goes and like turns into a big robot and saves the day.
That should be pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's fun. Aw. Do you watch any like television shows?
Yeah.
Yeah. What are your thoughts?
Well, like I said before, we just watched Tiger King. I just, mm-hmm. I've been on a It's Always Sunny. I never got into It's Always Sunny until mm-hmm. fairly recently, and mm-hmm. I've just been doing a deep dive. And then we watched Mythic Quest, which is Mac from It's Always Sunny's, and that we watched all 10 episodes of that, and that was really great. What else have we been watching? Drawing a blank.
Have you ever seen Schitt's Creek?
Yes. Oh, we got through the first season of that and then fell off to watch something else. Not because we got sick of it, just because we got distracted. We should take that back up again. Although yeah. I gotta finish Sunny first.
Yeah. No, tomorrow night's the series finale, and I'm like dreading.
Oh, really?
I'm like no, but it's so good. Have you heard of Letterkenny?
Oh yeah. Oh. I'm huge Letterkenny, but I was looking at my Facebook. You know, I got a reminder today mm-hmm. that I was supposed to go see Letterkenny live like next month or something like that. Yeah. And I'm just like,
I know. The Schitt's Creek panel was May 1st here. And I'm like, oh, man, like, I don't think it's going to happen. But, you know, better safe than sorry, I guess.
No, when we were up in Canada July, I think it was, I was just like, can someone get me a Puppers? Like, seriously, can I just like. Because it exists, like, and like they're like it's just shit beer, and I'm like I don't care, like just.
They're probably like hard no.
Yep, hard no.
Yeah, that show. Someone told me to watch it, and I was like, okay, and I was like obsessed with it, like right away. The pastor in that show is like my favorite. Forgot his name.
The preacher's name is. Why am I drawing a blank? I can see him. I can hear him in my head.
He always reminds me of a modern day Forrest from Hello Goodbye.
That's interesting.
Yeah. When I lived in Long Beach, I'd see him all the time. And I'm like, he reminds me of him. But
I can see that. Maybe it's the glasses.
Yeah, I think it's the glasses for sure. God, what is that guy? Pastor. That's going to make me crazy. I'm going to Google it.
But Bill. Yeah.
What is
it? What's the pastor on Letterkenny's name? Glenn.
Yeah. Yeah, he's hilarious.
Did you see the one where he makes t-shirts and gets all their sayings wrong?
No, I've never seen that one.
it's like pitter or pitter pooter or something like just like stupid.
Me and my husband, we've been doing like these home workouts because we can't go outside. So he'd be like, reps before rips. And I was like, reps before revelations. Like those hockey kids, but.
We're always talking about, well, when I was able to go to the gym, it's like, oh, leg day.
Yeah.
Leg day, bae.
Yeah. That's like such a good show, and it makes me nuts because I'll tell people to watch it, and they're like, okay, yeah, whatever. I'm like, no, seriously, I hate that. Just watch it, please.
But I found that I tend to oversell it.
Oh, really?
I think I've been overselling Tiger King to people. I mean, it's just kind of like, it's part of the zeitgeist right now, mm-hmm. so I can't really, like, everyone's talking about it, but I was just like, no, nah, man, like, we had to Google if this was actually real or like a documentary now kind of thing.
Right. Oh, my God. Yeah, I've seen it everywhere, and I'm at the point where I'm like, I'm almost sick of it, and I haven't even watched it, but I think I need to watch it, like, because I don't know what the heck's going on and all these memes.
It's wild.
Wow. That's crazy. Everybody, because I grew up, like, loving Lisa Frank. They're like, Chris, you'll love it. He's like a real-life Lisa Frank character. And I'm like, okay. Cool. So before we kind of close up here, can you tell us about your podcast?
Well, I was doing a podcast, like, from 2012 to 2014 or 15 that was called Nothing to Write Home About, mm-hmm. and where I would just interview kind of in a, you know, Marc Maron, Pete Holmesy sort of like interview for an hour or more, yeah. with my other friends and bands, as well as some comedians and some like chefs and other people like in the industry. Because a lot of the people that have the best stories from tour are like roadies and tour managers and stuff like that. And I had stopped doing it, just kind of similar reasons why I stopped doing the Terrible Twos, of just sort of like it was taking a lot of time. I was getting kind of sick of it. It wasn't making any money. But now I'm like, I think I'm going to start it up again just because as a way to like keep in touch with my friends while this is all going on. So I recorded the first one on Friday with Conley, actually. And I'm going to hopefully post that up later this week. Awesome. Or maybe early next week. I don't know.
That's cool, man.
Trying to figure that whole thing out.
I know you've known him for years, but I recently just met him. Like, he's like one of the like nicest people I think I've ever met.
He's a very kind person.
Such a kind person. I think I told him, like, I was like, you're just a pure joy of a human. Like, it like blew me away how kind he is. It's really, really cool.
Yeah. I mean, he's you know, one of the kind of people that, like when people talk about, like, all religion or spirituality being bullshit, and I'm just kind of like, I don't know, man. He's pretty spiritual, and he's, like, chill as hell.
You know what I mean? Like, for sure. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, it's been super interesting, and I was excited because, like, he was talking about Joseph Campbell, and so I was like, have you heard of Comedy Sex God? Because he talks about Joey Cans. And he's like, oh, I need to check it out. I'm like, yeah. So, but yeah,
I love the you know, Joey Cams. I was talking about Joey Cams.
So good. That's fun. And then where can we stream your podcast at?
I'm not sure yet. I'm just kind of getting back into it.
Okay.
So hopefully in all the usual places.
Nice. Yeah, because I Googled it because I was like, I want to find it. And I saw all of them up there. And so I was like, I want to go start listening. I'm going to binge listen to them all. It'll be fun.
I can make no claim about their quality at this point. It's been too far removed from it.
Aw. Well, thank you so much. This was so much fun. I am looking forward to seeing you guys whenever you get to go out again. Is the Dashboard shows, are they rescheduled yet?
They aren't rescheduled yet, but they're being rescheduled.
Okay.
Every time I hear a date or a series of dates being thrown around, it kind of keeps getting pushed back.
Yeah.
Because who knows what's going
to
happen.
It's hard to tell like when life will be normal again at this point, but hopefully sooner than we think.
I don't know. I don't know if anything's going to go... It'll be interesting to see what changes because of this. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, there is that element of, like, is it safe to go shake hands and take pictures with people?
Yeah.
After, you know, at some... So...
Yes.
And, I mean, I'm diabetic. I have a pre-existing condition, so it's kind of, like, extra freaky for me. And, you know, we'll see.
Well, man... I
sorry to end on a downer.
No, it's just that's real life right now. it's a little scary out there.
Yeah.
But
listen to, I'm trying to think of something positive to listen to.
Okay.
To cheer you up. I would say listen to Comedy Bang Bang, because that's about as silly as things get.
Awesome. I will definitely, and I'm gonna link all those like podcasts so people can go to them, of course.
Cool.
And everybody can pretty much just follow you on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all those goodies.
Yep.
Awesome. And so, yeah, next time you're in LA, if you have time, like, let's all hang out. It'd be really fun.
All right. Sounds good.
Cool. Have a great day.
You too. Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
I had so much fun talking to Matt. What a fun person. Like, I knew he was talented, but I'm like, holy crap, we like all the same shows. Letterkenny? If you guys have not seen Letterkenny yet, please be about it. And Matt, I'm totally going to watch Tiger King now. I've been putting it off, but you've inspired me to do it. After this conversation, I was super curious on how the heck I came up with Bohunky, and I've been saying it all my life. I'm sure it's something that was just passed down from my mom and like her family. So I did a little research. I looked up Bohunky. I've always used it as a synonym to hillbilly or podunk, like Matt said. Sure enough, it's similar to podunk according to an online thesaurus, but the word bohunk doesn't have the best meaning, which isn't awesome. I learned something today, and public service announcement, always watch what you say and say what you mean and not be mean about what you say. I'm just gonna leave it at that. But seriously, I had a lot of fun talking to Matt. We talk about all the fun podcasts that he loves. I'm totally going to list those in the show notes. And be on the lookout for his new episode of Nothing to Write Home About, his podcast, which I am really psyched when he gets that streaming out in the world. It's going to be awesome. It's with our friend Chris Conley. I'm sure it's going to be great. I'm including 8 songs on the podcast soundtrack that you can find links to over at my Instagram, which is at Christy G. I think I'm going to add these 8 because they're my favorites that are constantly on repeat, and that's Proceed with Caution and Stay on the Phone by the New Amsterdams, Shorty and Holiday from the Get Up Kids, oh, and Campfire Kansas of the Get Up Kids, Pitcher's Record and Ring from his solo record, Ladybug off of Terrible Twos, and Anywhere off of Radar State. Please be sure to follow Matt on all social media outlets. Take time during this crazy time in history to support artists. Listen to their music, share it with your friends. If you're able to contribute anything to these amazing people, please do so. They make the world a better place. Thanks again, Matt, for this conversation. It was super fun. And follow me on Instagram. There's links there for all the goodies, podcast, soundtrack on Spotify and Apple. And if you loved what you heard today, please go leave me a review, rate, subscribe, tell your friends, all the fun. It would mean a lot to me. It'd just be really, really awesome. It would warm my little heart. And also thanks again to Chris Conley for sharing my podcast with Matt. This episode wouldn't have existed without your kindness. Thank you so much, guys. See you soon. Thank you guys so much for listening. I will see you next episode. P.S. A special thanks to MXPX for providing the music for the podcast. They are the freaking coolest.